Oh my God.
Oh.
In the month of March, when the tournament starts and we're looking for underdogs, mascots that are ironic, our own new version of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, we've got a name for you, and it is Uniting Narcissists Everywhere. He plays for the Rhode Island Rams, and his name is Always Right.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with David.
No, that's not how you say his name.
Hey, man, there's not a phonetic, so I'm just assuming.
Okay, well, I don't give a fook about David.
That's good. Also, I did get narcissist and nepotism confused because also Ray Allen's son plays for the Rhode Island. I mean, they are stocked with, this is an all-name team.
100 Hall of Fame
Ray Allen
names.
The third.
Yeah.
Freshman for the team.
Wow.
And how would you really pronounce F-U-C-H-S?
Fuchs.
Well, that's less fun.
Sure.
That's 100.
Just, you know, never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Thank you, L. So you
will,
get it.
Yeah. So we will definitely call him David.
Sure will. Take it to the bank.
Definitely don't let him swap jerseys with Grady Dick.
Come on. Come on. We're past that storyline.
Are
there's
we?
Plenty.
Okay.
There's
all
plenty,
right. All right. All right.
Plenty to nibble on over the course of this next hour of programming.
There really is. There's a lot to get to as we say hello and welcome to the L. Duncan Show featuring, starring, co-headlining Gary Streisky. I still don't really know how to describe
That's
you.
It's a promotion.
Yeah.
Usually it's just with.
With, yeah.
Gary Streisky. I think I got a promotion.
Gary Streisky around.
Starring.
Yeah. Starring.
Also here,
yeah.
Gary Streisky.
Just in the building. We can't quit him.
Yep.
All right. Listen, we know that it is Thursday right now.
Yes.
And that at the time that we are taping this show / podcast, tournament time has just tipped. We've got
I'm
our first
itching.
Game on the men's side. The tournament time has just tipped.
Yep.
Certainly there's plenty that we can get to. Lots of hot takes. Right now is the time to get your hot takes off.
Yes.
Because, of course, nothing has started. So we're still in the predictive place. But we are instead, Gary, starting in the least unlikely of places, especially for someone like me who really doesn't pay attention to the sport until the All-Star break.
Sure.
But it is all about baseball right now.
Come on.
And not because we've just been itching to see if the Rangers can repeat.
There you go.
But much more because of the bat crazy story.
Come on.
That is coming out of, well, L.A. via
sure.
Seoul, Korea.
My hometown, by the way.
Yeah.
Born in Seoul.
Shout out. Yeah.
Jay Billis have Thornton. I mean, he's not from Thornton, but, you know, we share that bond. But your boy, Seoul, South Korea, in January of 87, right now, hosting opening
yeah.
weekend.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the games are over and done with. They split the series, the Padres and the Dodgers. But nobody cares about the on-field goings-on.
Absolutely not. Yeah, nobody cares that Yamamoto already looks like a bust.
$300 million, and he got touched up by the Padres, who, by the way, they have a good lineup. They got
they do,
all-stars.
But a 9 ERA? That's not exactly what they paid that money for, Gare Bear.
Fortunately, there's 160 left to play.
Fortunately.
160 left to play.
Here's the thing. Nobody cares about any of that. We get it. We're not the podcast to
sure.
come and tell you about opening day storylines. We understand that. We are here to talk about some of the shenanigans, the chicanery
yes.
that is happening with Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter. Fill in the good people about
former.
The story, former interpreter, about the story that has just dropped in the sports world.
Shohei Ohtani, famously the $700 million man who
sure.
deferred so much of his money until after his current contract runs out in 2034, has been with his current, now former, translator since he moved to America in nearly a decade ago, 2018. So he has been his interpreter, Ishe Matsuhara,
yeah.
right? Ipe Matsuhara. This guy's been in America for the last 25 years, and apparently he had the itch for college football betting lines, NBA betting lines, because this dude was betting on allegedly $4.5 million worth of credits
yeah.
to an illegal bookie that he allegedly asked Shohei Ohtani to clean up. And Shohei, being the face of Major League Baseball, just an overall global icon, superstar, sort of a mysterious figure, sort of a Batman-esque figure, you know, sleeps in the shadows, and we don't know much about him, but when he's playing baseball, we know he's the man, just wrote the check. And by check, I mean he wired a couple of different installments to this bookie with his name attached to it, Shohei Ohtani, for a loan to clear up $4.5 million of gambling debt.
Right.
So says the interpreter.
Yeah.
But now Ohtani's camp and the Dodgers are doing an about-face and saying, no. Ohtani was the victim of foul play here.
Massive theft is
massive
how
theft.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling BS on all of it.
Yeah.
Something else is fishy here.
Yeah. I'm going to take a quote directly from Tisha Thompson. We've got, you know, listen, ESPN's great because we run the gamut. You've got people like us who are completely unserious people, and then you have real investigative journalists.
Damn, Elle.
Like Tisha Thompson, who are this is what they do. And she's got a story up on ESPN.com right now, and this is directly from the article. Initially, a spokesperson for Ohtani told ESPN that the slugger had willingly transferred those funds to cover Mitsuhara's gambling debt. The spokesman presented Mitsuhara to ESPN for a 90-minute interview on Tuesday, during which he laid out his account in great detail. However, as ESPN was preparing to publish this story on Wednesday, the spokesman then disavowed Mitsuhara's account, said Ohtani's lawyers would issue a statement, and then, of course, that statement was, oh my gosh, he stole this money from me in illegal gambling, and I can't believe he would do this because we were such great best friends.
Not a shot.
Of course, social media has gotten going. They're taking a look at some of the dugout video of the two of them having a great time, chopping it up, chuckling as they tend to do, having a chit chat. That's what they did. He's well beloved, this guy. Everybody loved this guy. And the internet sleuths are going, so you're telling me after this interaction, hours later, he would be embroiled in a gambling scandal, having stole all his money from Shohei, something Shohei knew, and is going to be fired. Like, obviously the internet, the same internet that has ran away with Kate Gate, now has got some things that they're throwing out there. And honestly, it runs the gamut.
There are some juicy nuggets of information here.
Allegedly. And we're just going to just go ahead and put a big old alleged
on basically,
all this, right?
If
this
we
is all
just,
speculation.
If we could just put allegedly for the viewing audience, just
Ross,
as a lower third graphic, the entire time we talk about this.
Mm-hmm. All alleged.
Because of the aforementioned unserious part of Elle and I's perceptions on this story. But I find it hard to believe, especially what we've come to find out about Shohei Ohtani, and how he perceives and how he wants his perception to be with his culture and the Japanese culture and Ippei Matsuhara, who, by the way, is being paid $500,000 of a salary to be his translator. So it's not like this dude was scraping by and he needed, you know, these Pistons unders to hit.
Yeah.
He needed these 13-leg parlays to hit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's just something that's fishy about this. He was on the record with ESPN reporters as saying, yes, Shohei knew about this. Yes, and this is just a good friend covering for Shohei. I'm saying Matsuhara.
Yeah.
Shohei was aware of this. I asked him to bail me out, and he did, which is why he wired this particular offshore bookie, or actually local bookie, who's under federal investigation from his direct account with his actual name attached to these wire transfers.
I got you, homie. I know you don't have this money. You got into some trouble, but I'm going to bail you out. I'm going to give
you
some money to get you out of this sticky situation.
But all of a sudden, MLB sees this. They catch wind of how Matsuhara is effectively implicating Ohtani as the bankroller and is like,
Of illegal gambling. Because again, guys, I know what you're thinking at home, right? You guys, I am a gambling personality.
Uh-huh.
Gambling is everywhere. Still illegal in California.
Yes.
Still illegal there.
40 states legal.
40 states.
California, not one
of them. Not one of them.
And now you have the face of the franchise, not just
the face of baseball,
a global face at that is being like, oh, yeah, no, for sure. I'm going to bail my guy out for $4.5 million. Whoa. Rob Manfred's like, no, the hell you're not, my friend. You have nothing to do with this. You know nothing about this. And on the other side of this, we'll never get the full story. But Matsuhara is walking away. Let's just say something tells me Matsuhara is going to be all right. You know what I'm saying?
Because the other part of this
tells me Ippei going to be all right.
Going to be straight. The other part of this, of course, is that Shohei painted as a great friend, bailing out his homie.
Yes.
Listen, I've had my best friend since I was 14 years old. Uh-huh. I ain't giving her $4.5 million. Hell no.
Not if that's like...
You wrote checks your ass couldn't cash. I'm not bailing you out.
Are you sure your friend was the one writing the checks?
That's my point. The other side of this is that he's the fall guy and that it's Shohei, in fact, that has... This is all alleged speculation, social media, that it is Shohei that has a problem. And he's like, you're going to have to fall on this.
Yes.
I'm like, listen, this is a thing that happens everywhere. There are R&B artists.
Yes.
There are movie stars everywhere. And they always identify. I've had these conversations with like really big stars before.
Have to.
When you engage in some questionable things, you identify the fall guy. Hey, guys, just so you're aware. I know people that have conversations.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, just so you're aware. If we get busted doing this, you're the guy. You're the fall guy.
Yes.
You will be compensated. It will be great. But if you're suckling off of this teat,
come on.
You can't suckle off a dry teat. Like,
I'm saying.
Gonna have to keep this train.
You could try.
You can try. It's dry. It's
dust. It's gonna be chafing. It's gonna get uncomfortable very quickly.
A lot of chalk.
Okay.
So this is all very interesting.
And we saw this scene play out in Notorious.
Sure.
All right. It was Notorious B.I.G. Christopher Wallace was sitting in the interrogation room with his homie, who had to take the fall for an illegal weapons possession. And Christopher Wallace was like, I'm not going to let you go down for this. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about this scene because it actually went down, all right? Christopher Wallace was like, nah, Notorious B.I.G. was like, I'm not going to let you go down for this. And then his friend was like, my man, if you make it, we all make it. If you don't make it, none of us are making
correct.
It. You got to have a look at this.
You got to have a fall guy. Do you have a fall guy, Gary? Are you?
I'm not in the mud like that. I don't need a fall. A fall guy for what?
The thing is, too, is that Shohei is allowed to gamble. He just can't gamble on baseball, right?
Correct.
Like, he is allowed to gamble. He's a citizen, not in Cali, obviously, and not with illegal offshore betting accounts.
Which is particularly interesting why the Matsuhara, you know, specifically outlined, yeah, I bet on NBA.
Sure.
Football and college football.
Yeah.
Cap, bro. No, I'm sorry. No, you didn't.
I wonder, as this story plays out, and again, we'll never get the full details. We'll never truly know. Just like we didn't really know what happened.
Passing over the full details, but he's not coming up off that lock and
text. He should just like call in his Elmo so that he can just like remove himself from like all responsibility. He does a great Elmo, by the way. So while we wait on that, I wonder if Shohei, I mean, his translator was also betting on March Madness to begin because why not? It is opening day, if you will, at least for the men's side. Sure. The women start on Friday. Yep. And there's some spicy takes. There are some spicy takes in terms of what's going to happen, predictive. We're not going to go through our whole entire brackets because that's boring. And I think we shared those with you the other day. But here's some spicy takes people are throwing around right now as we get ready for the tournament. A, Caitlin Clark not getting past the Final Four. I don't actually think this is a spicy take at all.
Past the Final Four, basically she's not going to get to the national championship or at least to the Final Four.
Isn't getting past the Final
Four. She's obviously my national champion pick, which we clearly outlined a couple of days ago, and I stand by that.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's spicy. It's spicy based off of the circles who are, like, in the trenches and have been watching the way that Iowa has to win games this season, and now they have to do it without any room for error. So I get why that's a take.
I'm
talking with the best player in the country.
I feel you. I hear you. I see you. I receive you. I picked LSU in my Final Four because they would have to face Iowa in the Elite Eight. And it is a different Iowa team, man, than last year. It's not, they didn't just return the same team, and LSU didn't just return the same team either. That doesn't mean that LSU is necessarily better. They're just different than they were last year. They just don't have a post player. I don't think that's a spicy take at all. I don't even have Caitlin Clark getting to the Final Four. I'd love to be wrong. I would love to be wrong. I would love for our ratings. I would love for our stocks. I would love to be wrong.
All of that.
I just don't think it's that spicy. All right. UConn men's basketball will not repeat as national champs. The last team to do that, the Gators with Al Horford and Joakim Noah. Remember that? 2006 and 07.
You ever seen anybody want to go to vacation in Cleveland? Which, by the way, you'll be in Cleveland for the women's.
I will.
Final Four. I don't think that this is a spicy take. I mean, every person that covers this game intimately at our program, Jay Bills was here just a couple of days ago. Jay Williams, joining SportsCenter this past weekend, says they have the best team, they have the best front court, and they have the best coaching in college basketball. All right. Like, where's the weakness in that armor?
Well, they do have a really tough path. I mean, I think most of the talking heads would tell you that they gave UConn the most difficult
path. They did have a dirty path for being the number one
correct
overall seed. They're like, here, have this Iowa treatment.
Right, there you go.
Damn. Which, by the way, did you see as sort of an aside, did you see the Holy Cross TikTok players? They're playing at Carver.
Uh-huh.
And it was the TikTok. He's like, ooh, girl, this all you? It don't smell like roaches in here, because they're a 16 seed playing a one seed. Holy Cross right up the way. That's a private university, by the way, in Worcester, Mass. You know, y'all got money, too. What are you talking about? Student enrollment, 3,200. But even Holy Cross is walking into that arena being like, yeah, this is going to be tough. They play Saturday. This is going to be tough.
This is going to be difficult, especially when they see that crowd in there. Yeah. I got UConn running it back, too. And finally, in the spicy takes that we need to get rid of the first four, especially after what we were forced to witness with Virginia.
I'm actually all about that. I'm about that life.
How can we say that and then in the same breath be like, expansion is getting some buzz? Like, I'm sorry, no one needs to see 80 teams. There's not a single person that's going, damn, man, I really wish that the 69th and 70th best teams in D1 could have had their opportunity. And I think the reason that they're saying expansion is because there's this idea that if you get rid of the automatic bids, we saw Tom Izzo say that, you should not be able to have automatic bids necessarily for some of these mid-majors because they are stealing bids away from people who necessarily didn't win their conference but still deserve to get in. Michigan State was a bubble team.
I think that's crazy because there are hundreds of Division I teams, and more than ever we have parity across college basketball. Yes, the Tom Izzos are saying the Michigan States and your blue bloods are sort of being cheated, but we have talent going 1 through 70 up and down this bracket that at any given day, and we've seen it play out in history more recently than most, these 15, 14, 13 seeds winning. So I have no problem with these mid-majors getting automatic bids, and I'm okay with expansion, but we have to just get away with the delineation that there's this first four and then the official first day starts today, day of taping on a Thursday. Just put 68 in there, throw the ball up and let them go. This first four thing, no one's paying attention until the actual bracket starts today. So if you're going to expand it, just put everybody in. Put 72 in, throw it up, and let's get this day started 2 days early.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, this is always one of those hot takes because of what we just witnessed with Virginia in the first four. And, in fact, when we
come
back,
former national champ, 40 points.
Right, it was a nightmare. But, listen, even when they won the Natty, they are so boring. And, in fact, they're so boring that Stephen A. Smith is coming for people's jobs. On the other side, should you get fired for being good at your job but just being boring at it?
That at least be the fall guy in something.
Exactly.
Warrant a firing.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
What's the sound of that? That's the sound of the L. Duncan Show dropping every Monday and Thursday. Wherever you get your podcasts, also on YouTube. And every Friday, well, not during the tournament, but every Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2.
Comments have been nice.
Yeah.
Comments have been rocking with
people
us.
People are liking it. Yeah. We like that. So we don't have to cry. We don't have to whine. We don't have to enter the wambulance. Before you run the
segue.
You like that? We've decided to do this segment. This is the second time we're trotting back out. So I'm going to reintroduce it to our incredible listening and viewing audience. Okay. Essentially, we're going to play you some sound or some comments from someone.
Yep.
And we decide, do they need to take a little trip in the wambulance because they're whining so much? Now drop it. There it is. For those of you that aren't watching, it is Gary Streisand driving the ambulance.
I got my CDL.
I don't think you understand that that's a little bit of a snipe. Why would you be the one driving the ambulance if it weren't that you're an expert at whining?
And that's fine. And that's fine. Listen, I think realizing where your strengths and your weaknesses are are actually a character green flag as opposed to a red flag.
Yeah.
And I'm all right with that.
That's gross.
I only complain when I have to. Like today before our podcast, I was like, I would really like to vent about my mother.
Yeah.
Because I called and 20 seconds in, she was just like, Gary, why are you telling me everybody on the internet on SportsCenter that I think Randy is funnier than you? And I'm like, Mom, it's a joke. And she's like, well, I don't like it. Stop doing that. 20 seconds in, I'm like, Mom, you got to chill. You got to chill, mother.
Oh, wow.
She was like, I don't like that. Posting pictures of me on the internet without, you know, telling me, you know, I didn't do my hair. I'm like, Mom, did you read the comments? People love you. And she's like, well, I didn't like how you said that.
That's fair. I'm 100% with your mom there. No, I am. I'm with your mom there. I cannot stand. I'll jump in the ambulance here.
This.
I cannot stand when people just think something's adorable and they do not ask you and they post you on the internet. Your mom's right. She has some pride. Maybe she didn't want everyone to see her hair like that. You think it's adorable and cute.
What?
Maybe she wanted to put on her Gucci sweats. Maybe she wanted to put
she doesn't have Gucci sweats.
A roller set in.
She don't got that either, Elle.
Maybe that wasn't her favorite angle. It's rude.
It's not.
It's assault.
It wasn't
it's
her favorite angle.
It's assault.
No, it's not. It's a son's love. Is what it is. And my mom, she'll make you feel bad with, the angle, But then she's like, but what are the comments saying? They think I'm young? They want to know about my skincare routine? I'm like, Mom, you can't have it both. You can't get mad at me for making you some mini social media celebrity that nobody knows about or that, you know, that's quite mysterious unless I post you. But then you get mad at me because I do that? I don't know, Mom. I got a little upset at her.
Okay, well, I can tell you're lying because when you're replying, stutter, he's stuttering.
Which means
you feel some kind of way about it.
It's just also character trait. I get a little nervous. I get a little nervous, especially when you...
I'm on team. Mama Streisky. Yeah. Don't post her until she says it's okay. It's
I'm not
rude.
I'm asking for permission from my mother.
How about this? Do we have permission to fire Virginia head coach Tony Bennett for just being milk toast? According to Stephen A. Smith, we do. Listen in.
And I take no joy in saying this, but if it were me, I'd
fire him. He does.
Yes, he does.
Strictly because of being boring. Literally.
Oh, God.
I'm not questioning his ability as a coach at all. He's a national champion, for crying out loud. I'm not questioning his ability as a coach, but you cannot be that boring, that unappealing for so long and get away with it.
Listen. Even when Virginia was losing to the Golden Retrievers, wasn't that their
16 seed?
UMBC
ever 16 to beat a one.
Correct. Even when they were winning national championship, not plural, the one.
Correct.
They have always been a really tough brand of basketball to watch because they're low scoring, because it's all defense, because there is no emphasis at all. I imagine it would be like now if a team from the 60s and 70s in football got hot, where they just run the ball all the time, and you're like, this is so horrible. Like what the Eagles were trying to do with the Wildcat when Chip Kelly was there.
Oh, my God.
It's like, can someone throw the ball, please?
Yes.
No one likes this kind of sport anymore.
Yep.
You know, when we've got Caitlin Clark making threes from the half-court line, nobody wants to see 40 points. It was really a tough watch, and I think Stephen A. actually went in to give a couple of stats as well. They went 10 minutes without a field goal.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then
horrible.
They were held in the second half. They scored 15 points in the first, but I'm glad that you brought up that era of play because nobody is going to be complaining. And I get it. I'm not giving Coach the benefit of the doubt here because he's only won a national championship. But if he's got that John Wooden success where all they ever focused on was passing, cutting, and setting screens.
Yeah.
You know, Stephen A. Smith ain't calling for his job if you're winning by way of that.
Sure.
But it's a thin margin because one day you're a national champion and you're bulletproof. You can't anybody say anything about you, no matter how boring you might be approaching this game. And then the next day you're losing to a 16 seed. So I think that Virginia probably would have better grounds on just firing him for, you know, not fulfilling Virginia's potential as opposed to being a boring style of basketball.
Since we're throwing up conspiracy theories, maybe Tony Bennett, who, by the way, was born for a television.
Uh-huh.
That man is a handsome man. He's got perfect hair. He is a...
Jim and Jay Wright.
I mean, they're just both very good-looking men. Yep. Maybe Tony Bennett is doing this so that he can get fired so he could join us here at ESPN. So, and if that's the case, I never wanted you to get fired at
Same.
All, Coach.
What did I just say? Because I totally forgot what I said. But I'm pretty sure I advocated for him keeping his job.
He did.
I don't like seeing people lose their jobs. I stand with Matsuhara as well.
There you go. I think you just blacked out. All right. Next up, should we put Draymond Green in the Whambulance, who has a little bit of feelings about LeBron James and our colleague J.J. Redick starting their own podcast? Listen to what Draymond said on his podcast about it.
So I'm excited to check it out. I must say I am a little upset that LeBron James is like going on a podcast and he still haven't been on the Draymond Green show. But when it's your own thing, you kind of can't say anything. So I guess I'll live with it for now.
Yeah, this is what I love about Draymond is that he is so petty. Mm-hmm. He's just like me and he just admits it. He's like, I'm upset because this isn't about me. You haven't come on my thing. And so now I feel some kind of way about it. And I'm just wondering, is that whiny or is it just really like true and transparent? And is he a hero for saying the things that none of us would say out loud, which is that this podcast doesn't center me and I'm going to insert myself into it, damn it.
I think that this is just a prime example of professional courtesy, one being exchanged and now one being abundantly on display and not. This is a prime example of, yeah, I like you, but I don't really rock with you like that. Because if LeBron rocked with him like that, he'd have been on that podcast.
Yeah.
But now him and J.J. Redick are just creating one to strictly talk hoops.
Yeah, mind of the game.
It's not that LeBron hasn't been itching to get on a podcast to talk hoops, X's and O's, strategy and whatnot. It's just one of those situations where it's like, yeah, I like you, man, but I don't rock with you like that.
Yeah, like we're cool. We cool.
Yeah.
But we ain't cool.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? There are different levels of cool. We acquaintances, chill. We chill, we'll dap each other up if
we're
I see you at an event. Yeah, like, what's up, Dre?
We're at Ruben's white party. We're chilling.
Yeah, we're cool enough for me to call you Dre.
But we're not pulling up to the party together.
Correct. And we're not leaving together. And we're not ratifying any business deals together as well. I love how petty our graphics person is too. Maybe they could start a new pod called the Play-In Pals.
That's good because as it presently is constructed.
They both are.
They're the 9 and 10 right now. So they have more in common than they think.
I wouldn't want to put Tyrese Halliburton in the Whambulance.
It's kind of sad, actually.
Or his comments about what he said about sort of feeling like he's not really valued as a real person, talking about the idea that at this point, for half of the internet, they just feel like props in this betting cog, that most of the comments are people not concerned about his play, but just rather concerned with whether they lost them big money or not. And I do think there's a lot of athletes that are speaking this way. It's like, you know, at the height of fantasy football, which, listen, fantasy football is still really huge, and we know that. But, like, when there were shows on FX, and it was a lot of the players felt that way, too. Like, I get hurt, and then all my mentions look like, you've ruined my fantasy team. Mm. Well, in reality, I'm hurt, and this sucks for me, too. And I think we are starting to see some of the athletes speak out about, you know, like how scary it is, especially for some of these young athletes. Yeah. People put money on these things and all of a sudden
a lot of money that they don't have,
and which all of a sudden becomes these players' problems, which is not. And so Tyrese basically says, like, I feel a little bit like a prop, and that feels some kind of way. He also acknowledges no one's going to feel sorry for him.
Right.
But that, just speaking from his perspective, it sucks.
It's pretty introspective, too. And I know we label ourselves some unserious people, but, like, this betting thing is getting kind of crazy. Like, 2/3 of people who admit, and there's so many people that don't admit, to having gambling issues, which are equivalent to substance issues as it relates to, like, how it financially burdens you, how it mentally burdens you, are men, right? And these are young men in their 20s and their 30s, oftentimes spending money that they don't have, and it becomes a slippery slope. And Tyrese Halliburton, obviously, being on the receiving end of the brunt of a lot of these dudes losing money that, again, a lot of them don't have. He's saying that he has to shut his comments off. He can't read his comments because Tyrese Halliburton, yes, supermax contract player, but he's reading comments that are like, dude, I just lost my last $1,000 because you didn't hit this over on a random Tuesday night. Like, this is going to get a lot worse before it gets any amount better.
I mean, I think, like, listen, I am on record saying that as a grown-up, like, I understand how social media can feel very overwhelming for kids, how it can feel overwhelming for people who are in their formative years, whose brain is still coming together, who are still sort of building who they are as people. There's a huge part of your life and friendships that happen on social media. But I stand on the fact that as a grown-up, unless you are your job involves and is involved in social media, it's very hard for me to feel bad for people who get, like, bullied, if you will, on social media, because I am one of those people.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to either turn all your filters on or just ignore them. Yeah. Like, as soon as the internet starts getting mean at me, I just go, you know what? You know what I can do?
Not look.
put my phone down. Yeah. Like, literally not log on. Sure. And, like, my thing is, I feel for Tyrese Halliburton in many ways, but also, he does not have to be on social media to do his job.
Sure.
He can go be a basketball player and kill it and do his thing and never even know what anybody is saying about him and not be the wiser. So I do think it's tough, like, to sort of feel bad for people, especially grown-ups, when they're like, people are really mean to me on Twitter. It's like, well, then don't look. Like, don't engage. You don't have to look. If you want to find something, you will find it.
Definitely.
I know people who complain about that, and then they go and search their names on Twitter, which is the worst thing you can do. Listen, the boldies that will at me and talk, I'm like, okay, you're annoying, but also at least you're bold enough to do it.
Max,
the things that are said, the things that are said when they don't at you are horrible. And if you go find those things and look for those things, then you're going to find all of that hurt and sadness.
You're
going to find what you're looking for. Yeah. Just, like, move on, you know?
True.
Don't open it up and don't engage. It's just that simple. Let it die down. People move on. Someone else does something or says something or has a bad game. Somebody else, for no reason at all, decides they're going to guard their own player, James Harden. And everybody moves on and it becomes fodder for someone else. Lastly, should we put our own, and I love this man.
Oh.
Tim McMahon.
E-Mac, you dirty dog.
On the Hoop Collective podcast, he decided to go after maybe the one group of people you don't go after because they've got like a monster Napoleonic complex, and I know that because I am short person as well. He went after short kings. Listen in.
Fellas, listen, this is a controversial subject. I understand. It's sensitive. There's a bunch of wee little fellas out there who get sensitive when I bring this up, but I've told you, male referees need to be there's a minimum height requirement. There has to be. This needs to happen. The short fellas have quick triggers. Okay. And I'm looking at well, maybe I'm wrong. I think he's a sub 6 footer. Sub 6 foot men should not be reffing NBA games.
Yo,
oh, no. T-Mac.
Like, listen, short refs. In my mind, short refs are the people that are like, I've always loved basketball my whole life, but I've just been too little to be an actual player.
And I'm going
to
wield this hammer.
So this is my way of getting close to the game and being near the game. And of course, because they're short, you know, they've got some ego issues anyway.
But your dad's a tall one, right?
Yeah, he's like 6'1". Yeah, he's 6'1".
Did he like short refs on his team?
I don't think we ever got into that, Gary. I never said like, so dad, what about shorties? Are you guys down with that?
Now you got a little bit of fodder. All right, you got to ask him. You have to ask him if it actually specifically affects the game in a negative fashion. If they are not of the altitude that they can make the right calls and stay away from the incorrect calls. Because if Clark says, hey, there's actually a little bit of credence to what T-Mac is saying, then I'm going to give it to him. Otherwise, Tim, you are putting all of us in harm's way by saying, you know, short refs can't referee basketball, because the next thing we're going to say, and we push back on athletes all the time, well, I don't think if you played the sport, you can't. You calling him?
I'm calling Dad.
Yes.
Calling in Clark.
You can't talk the sport if you haven't played it. Tim, you're setting us all up for disaster.
Hey,
we got him on the phone.
Hey, Dad.
We got Clark on the phone. Here we go.
Hold on. Dad, you're on speaker because we're taping the show, and I need to ask you, since you are our representative for all officials, one of our colleagues said that short referees should be banned from the NBA, and I just want to ask you, is being vertically challenged, is that problematic for the job as a referee in basketball?
No, it isn't. And to my question would be, how short is he talking about? I mean, what is he talking about? A midget? I mean, what is he talking about?
Sub 5'9 would be considered short in the situation in the NBA.
I'd say I don't think there should be height. I think there should be a qualification as far as being able to call a basketball game. I believe most refs, in my opinion, some of the best refs played the game. A lot of guys I used to ref with back in the day, they hadn't played. They'd read the rule book, knew it inside out, but they had never played the game. And sometimes they weren't as effective because the game has to have a flow. They understand the flow of the game. And every game has a different flow. So I don't think a height restriction has anything to do with it. I ref with good refs that were short and bad ones that were short and bad ones that were tall and good ones that were tall. So it just really doesn't matter. Do you have an eye for it?
See, Clark Duncan, thank you, Dad. Clark Duncan has spoken. You don't have to be You have to play the game.
He was a little too quick with the answer, too. So, like, there's not even any gray area.
No, he's like you need to play basketball. That's what you need to do. He's like, those are the worst refs, are the ones that never played. But if you played, even if you got off, like, on this junior league level, then you are a better ref than ones that have not played, tall or short. There you go.
Interesting, T-Mac.
You know, obviously, Tim McMahon doesn't follow Dunkin' on, and I mean Dunkin' Donuts, because according to the donut giant, it is short king season. We'll get into that and some more food takes on the other side.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, we back. Dunkin' Donuts has announced officially
that they're sponsoring the show. Thank you.
I wish. Come on, Dunkin'.
It's an announcement that we hope to have soon from Dunkin'.
I would love that.
Makes perfect sense.
Dunkin', do not overthink this. It works really well. I will absolutely change my name legally if you sponsor the show. I'm not going to do that. But they say that because it is spring and they've got a new promotion with a tiny cost. I don't know if this is, I still struggle to figure out all the names at Starbucks. Like, I'm 100%. Small, medium, large. Well, I'm not saying grande, venti.
I'm not saying trente, venti.
I'm not saying any of that.
None of that.
Small, medium, large.
Thank you.
But I guess this is their small coffee, so they're calling it the Short King. And I got to be honest, I feel like there's one media member who should be really pissed about this.
Oh.
Pete Blackburn. He is a hockey guy, and he has dubbed himself the Short King. He's a Short King.
He is. If I didn't know Pete Blackburn, I'd be like, that man is super intimidating, super chiseled, good looking.
And then he's all that.
And then I met him in person. I was like, and then he called himself the Short King. I was like, oh, I get it.
He leans in.
I get it now. He leans in. He owns it.
He 100% owns it. How short is Pete, though? 5'3"?
Whoa. I don't know if he's 5'3".
I think he's
5'6"?
5'6"?
Something like that.
It's not that short,
mid
though.
Mid-fives.
Yeah, okay.
Mid-fives.
Mid-fives?
Like back in the day, like early 1900s, like he's giant on
early
the Titanic.
Early 1900s.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's a giant. People have just grown. All right. Google says they
lies. Okay.
Christina, our producer, said Google
Pete.
Says he's 5'10".
We know Pete well enough. No, absolutely not.
And
that's
listen,
not true.
Google's
nobody is calling themselves the Short King if they're 5'10". They're lying and saying they're 6 foot.
Google's
absolutely
been getting
not.
In trouble for capping too, so you know that's been
correct.
That's lies.
Yes.
I'll tell you that right now. The funny thing about the Short King drink is it is only here for a short time.
Okay.
Which is funny. Literally only a week from like the 19th until the 26th. So
you can only get a small cup of coffee for 1 week from
Dunkin'
Donuts?
Yeah, because then the Short King gets played out. Like, oh, yeah, funny personality. Oh, yeah, no, it's fun for now. But do I really want to, like, do I want to settle on the Short King? Not long term. I mean, there are, at the time of this screen grab, 3 million views on this. So it piqued enough interest.
Yeah.
All right, like, it'll get your attention. And then if it has good personality, it'll keep you around for a little bit.
But then once you get all these jokes off, like, must be this tall to ride this ride, it's like, I'm bored.
Runs its course.
Okay, I'm going to reach out to Pete and be like, oh, how tall are you actually, Pete Blackburn? Because 5'10 is cap. I also think that it is total cap as we do some more food for thought. Let's just go down this food spiral, shall we?
Perfect.
Jets fan and social media personality, NYJ Matt, don't know him, sent a breakfast sandwich up to wide receiver Mike Williams during his free agent visit to the team facility on Tuesday, okay?
Worked.
And apparently he felt like this would be such a successful play that it would keep Mike Williams in the building. He did, in fact, sign with the Jets.
Yep.
This guy is taking all the credit. Mike Williams posted a picture eating the sandwich. What kind of sandwich is this?
Pork roll, egg, and cheese. And it probably helped tip it over the scales. That $15 million that the Jets, you know, were signing him to that 1 year probably helped seal the deal a little bit more.
I think probably than the breakfast sandwich.
Than the pork roll. And the thing about New Jersey, because my girlfriend's from Jersey, but on the south side of Jersey, it's the same exact sandwich, but depending on what you call it, it is very, very different. And you can tell what region specific it is. So if you call it a Taylor ham and cheese, I think that's the southern part of New Jersey. And if you call it a pork roll, egg and cheese, it's the northern part of New Jersey. Oh, wait, I'm being told to reverse it. Pork roll, egg and cheese, South Jersey. Taylor ham, egg and cheese, North Jersey. It's the same exact sandwich. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, I've had one, didn't finish it. It would feed a family in times of famish.
Oh, wow.
In times of drought.
Big boy.
It's disgusting.
Okay.
It's not good.
Well, the only sandwich that could assure me that I would sign to a place would have to have like Molly in it.
What?
Here's some other food options. Here's some other food options from famous cities and their famous foods. And I'm going to run through these and ask you, would this be a green flag and you wanting to stay in that city?
Yes.
This meal, or a red flag and you'd want to run? Let's go to Baltimore. Crab cakes.
All day, every day. It's so good. So good. I remember when we were there for Red Sox opening day in Baltimore Camden Yards, and that was a special treat to the media members. They had Maryland crab cakes.
Yeah.
And they were smacking.
Yeah.
Crab cakes are so good.
I would say just a little bit of feedback from my Baltimorean friends. Maybe like you could go like a little bit easy on the Old Bay on everything.
No.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying like I love Old Bay too, but like my meal doesn't need to be Old Bay chicken wings with Old Bay French fries with a side of broccoli with Old Bay seasoning.
Gotcha. You're saying preserve it.
You can't overseason.
You don't have to put it on everything. Got it.
All right, okay. Chicago deep dish pizza.
Surprisingly, this is a red flag. The Lou Malnati's, the DiGiorno. Lou Malnati's, and there's another one that starts with D. It's again too heavy. Look at that. This is not a pizza. This is a lasagna.
Fair, with bread around
it. And it's not even soft bread. Like that crust is super hard. It's going to cut the top of your mouth. It's too much. You can't do anything after eating a deep dish pizza, and you can't really do anything before it.
I'll say this though. I would much rather that version of a pizza than the New York style thin crisp. Slice? I'm not. It,
what?
Here's why. As soon as that guy comes out of the oven, that cheese is done. As soon as that guy comes out of the oven, the cheese is not good anymore. If it takes you less than 30 seconds to eat your entire slice of pizza, it's gone. There's not enough sauce on it. There's not enough sustenance. You've got to eat like three of those in order for them to stick. I am a big time believer that if you can't eat your pizza with a knife and fork,
what?
It's not going to sustain you.
You're describing lasagna, L. Pizza is supposed to be.
And what's wrong with lasagna?
Nothing, but we're talking pizza. It's supposed to be thin, crispy, and just the ooey gooey mountain of lavanous cheese.
All right, what about a Detroit Coney dog? I don't know what's the difference between a Coney dog and a regular dog.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what that is, but I love a hot dog. I love
That's not surprising. I know.
What? I bite them from the side like Ryan Clark. Oh, is that what it is? Chili and onions?
Chili, onions, and mustard?
Sans the mustard with chili. That's kind of a weird mix.
You want to know the last time that I had a hot dog?
Well, it's probably got to be a long time ago because you don't do the pork.
Yeah, but they have beef hot dogs.
Oh, yeah, true.
Hot dogs for me, a texture thing. I haven't had a hot dog since I was 12 years old.
Really? What happened?
I learned, you know, one of those, like someone at school told me that hot dogs are made up of all the animal parts that they couldn't process in the meat processor.
It tastes delicious.
So I went to go take a bite and I just imagined that there was like cow toenails in it.
Hell yeah. It's a melting pot. Isn't that what we're trying to like advocate for here in America? No. Like it's a melting pot of meats.
No, I want to interact with a melting pot of people. I don't want to eat.
You
want to
keep
pot.
You
want to
keep your meats. You want to keep your meats segregated. Got it. Understood. No, I get it. I get it. Okay, cool.
Oh, here's one for you because I think this is a very controversial one.
Yes.
Skyline chili. I would run out of the building. If someone brings Skyline chili and they think that's a green flag, I'm done.
I'm out. I've had Skyline. Have you had Skyline chili? Which Skyline chili is the actual? It's the actual name of the chain. Okay, but you can actually get, you know, Cincinnati chili or whatever they call it. Three ways, four ways, five ways. And basically that indicates how many layers of toppings. So the noodles, the spaghetti is the actual base.
Gross.
One way is like the beans. Two way is the chili. Three ways, onions, cheese. If you just gave me the spaghetti with the, let's do just chili and the cheese, I could rock with that. I could rock with that.
No.
But like the five-way with the onions and the beans, it's so heavy. I had that when the All-Star game was in Cincinnati. So middle of July, Cincinnati was hot. It was humid. I was in a suit. It was a war zone in the Underoos, let me just tell you.
Also, I will let you know that you should take all of Gary's food takes with a grain of salt because he is from a place where they serve bull testicles and call them oysters. So,
I mean, like, I've had them.
I'm sure you have.
What? Accusations.
Speaking of bull testicles, it took a lot of those for James Harden to do what he did. For those of you that haven't seen it, I encourage you to do it if you're not watching this show, if you're just listening. Kawhi Leonard goes to pull up for a three, and James Harden closes out and tries to block the three. I was like, I don't understand what's happening. And then he had an even more nonsensical explanation when he was asked postgame, why would you try to guard your own teammate? And he said this.
That brings some excitement to the team. You know what I mean? I think this last few weeks has been a fog for us, and I think every team goes through it. So I think just me just trying to create a good energy, create a great vibe for this team. And, maybe it would have been better if we had made the shot, but let's give something to laugh about. You know what I mean? Some excitement for this season.
Did you accomplish your mission?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, if those same comments...
I oddly love this.
If those same comments came out of Nikola Jokic's mouth in that deadpan manner, we'd be like, he's insane.
Like, this dude.
I want to make everything funny, and I want them to laugh and have fun.
Comedy. I love that. Do you know what this play... That's scary. Whoa. Do you know what this play indicates to me?
What?
We talked about how LeBron was like, we're cool, but I don't rock with you. This is like a very... distinct example that James Harden and Kawhi, they like rock with each other. Nobody is doing that to Kawhi Leonard.
So silly.
Let alone in the middle of the third, like we both watched this and we're like, oh yeah.
I thought it was the end of the game.
Garbage time. Clippers 21 against the Blazers team that's already eliminated from the playoffs. No, this was 5 minutes to go in a game in Portland.
Why?
James Harden is the one who threw the pass. And what's funny to me is that he's like, oh yeah, I'm trying to, you know, shake things up, make things funny. They were up 21. You're like, oh, Gary, come on, give us a break. They were up 21. The Clippers just lost the game after being up by 21 earlier in the week. So it's not like 21 points is like some inexplicable, insurmountable lead to have in a game. But he's right, because the Clippers are 8-10 in their last 18 games. He's trying to bring a little spice, and now it's working.
Well, this reminded me of, do you remember when LeBron left for Miami, then left Miami, went back to Cleveland, and there's video. I pulled it up, too, just to remind myself. There's video of him as a member of the Cavs setting a pick for the Heat. It's like he forgot he wasn't on Miami's
team. Yeah.
Do you remember that? It was giving me a little bit of that. Like, maybe he just forgot who he was playing for.
There's a few players in the league who can get away with those type of shenanigans.
Yeah.
James Harden is one of them, and we didn't hear anything from Kawhi. Nobody else in the NBA is doing that to Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard famously is the dude who was on the Raptors, and his own dude tried to dap him up, and he was like, get away from me, peasant.
I don't want you.
There's the tunnel.
Not you. You know what? Maybe we can pitch to ESPN Bet a prop bet that someone tournament...
Mm-hmm.
will guard their own player.
Ipe Mutsuhara is like, come on, smash that. I'm smashing. I just inexplicably got like this windfall of cash, and I am ready to put it on that prop, allegedly.
Happy marching.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Happy marching to all of you. By the time we talk to you again on Monday,
the bracket will still be perfect.
We will be down to the Sweet 16. I seriously doubt it. My kids will be beating your butt. Can't wait. All right, that does it for us on the L Duncan.
I don't mean that. I don't mean that.
He really did. Cruel. But you got him their donuts, though.
That's right. I did.
Xander's going to walk up to you and be like, run me my donut, bitch.
Uncle Gary, the man, back in the good graces. That's right.
Bye.